10, and then we will be coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I'm still getting just a bit of a ring up here. We have been having some issues with our sound system, and we are working on it. It seems like we're always working on it. Zechariah 4, verse 6, if you have it, or you can read it from the screen behind me. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then in verse number 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. With those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And we're talking about small things that change your life. And today I want to talk about the power of habits. The power of habits. Let's pray and then we'll get right into our subject. Father, I thank you for each person that's here today, and I thank you for the way that you are at work in every one of our lives, whether we realize it or not. And I pray that you would challenge our hearts today. I pray, Lord, that you will enable me to speak your word, Lord, in the way that you would have it spoken, and Lord, that it would inspire and challenge at the same time. And I thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, this is the last week in our series of small things that change your life. And I chose the picture of a baby to illustrate from the very first of this series the power of small things to really change your life. Because once you have a child and you bring it home from the hospital, whether it's a little boy or a little girl, and you bring it home from the hospital, your life just changed. Whether you know it or not, how much it's changed, it has drastically and dramatically changed. So the big idea of this series, just as we get into it this morning, the big idea of the series is this statement: it's often the small things that no one sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. It's often the small things that nobody sees that result in the big things that everyone wants. Sometimes when we look at our lives and we look at where we are versus where we want to be, we say, I've got to find a big thing. There have got to be these huge things that I can do that will change my life. But there is a power in the small decisions, in the small things that we do that will radically transform our lives. Last week we talked about our words. The week before we talked about our thoughts and how our life will go in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Last week we talked about how the words that we speak can be either life-giving words or life-taking words. We can either use words that will build up, encourage, and help, or we can use words that will take life, that will discourage, that will cause problems. Whether that's in your marriage or in your family, in your workplace, it's true. Not only is it true externally, but the words that we speak to ourselves and the way that we describe ourselves has a huge impact on where we get to in life. You can encourage yourself. The Bible says that David got in trouble. King David in the Old Testament got in trouble and that he encouraged himself in the Lord. That means he began to talk to himself about God in his life. It may have involved worship, but the power of words is important within our lives. We also talked about how if you want to change the life that you have, you need to change the words that you speak. If you want to change the life that you have, you have to change the words that you speak. Words are powerful. But today we're moving on because we talked about week one about small things that change your life. Week two about thoughts, and your thoughts become words. And your words become habits. And your habit becomes your destiny or your direction. So it begins with the thought. You'll remember the scripture that says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it begins with our thoughts. It manifests in our words and our actions. And our habits are so important in developing our direction and our destiny. We all have habits. My family have mentioned to me several times that I am a creature of habit. I guess that's true. I had to buy a pair of shoes yesterday. And I am quite particular about the brand of shoes that I buy. I buy one brand. Anybody with me on that? I buy one brand. That's all. Nobody. One brand. That's it. That's all. That's what I buy. I erred from that path some years ago. I bought a very nice pair of shoes that were a different brand. I didn't wear them. They were nice shoes. I just didn't like them. I didn't wear them. One brand. Yesterday, my family was kind of amazed because they walked in and I had bought a different brand of shoes because the brand I like doesn't make the kind of shoes I needed. I'm a creature of habit. Every morning when I get up, I have exactly the same thing for breakfast. Anybody with me on that? No? You mix it up? I mean, I have the same thing. I get attached to habits. Doesn't mean I can't change them, I just don't want to. You know, there's a particular bread that Costco got me addicted to. Because my doctor said twigs and seeds, so I said twigs and seeds I will eat, but it's going to taste good. And so there was this particular type of bread. Costco here doesn't carry it. Costco in Vaudreuil doesn't carry it. You know, the only one that carries it is in Laval. Now, you're going to think this is a little extreme, but every once in a while, I have to drive up to Laval to Costco and stock up because I can't find anything else that's as good as that particular one. Now, some of you, don't judge. You're judging right now, aren't you? Habits. Habits. You know, those of you who drive to work, how many of you drive to work the same turns every day? And there are other ways that you could go. Habit. And somebody says, you should go this way instead. And what's your reaction? My way is the fast way, the best way. Sometimes we say it's the only way. Habits. We all develop them. A few years back, a man named Stephen Covey wrote a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. It's a great book to read if you like business books and self-improvement books. He talks about the habits that people need to develop. And I want to speak to you this morning about our habits. The things that we do repetitively, the things that we might call, another word for them is our disciplines. Habits or disciplines. Because, and here's an important statement, and it'll be up on the screen, that we are what we repeatedly do. We are what we repeatedly do. So what we do over and over and over again becomes a part of who we are. We are what we repeatedly do. Now, I want you just to take a moment and look at yourself and ask yourself this question: am I a disciplined person? Am I a disciplined person? Now, I don't want you to answer that out loud. But am I a disciplined person? You know, you might look at that question and then you look at somebody else and say, they are so disciplined, I am not very disciplined. But the truth of it is, we actually all are disciplined. We have habits and patterns that we are consistently and continually doing. Not all of them are good, but we all have habits and patterns within our lives. Some of them aren't helpful, some of them aren't good, some of them are. We all have habits or disciplines. The interesting thing is that bad habits take root far quicker than good habits. It's interesting, I was reading about this. When it comes to developing a bad habit, as few as 2 repetitions can cause it to become kind of a habit in your life. For instance, you're very disciplined about what you're eating, but then you stop for your morning coffee and you look at that Boston cream donut one day and you say, that thing is calling my name. And so you tell the person behind the counter, this is just one day, I will have my coffee and I will have that Boston cream donut or whatever it is you really prefer. And you know you shouldn't. And you know that if you have one, it's going to be a problem. You know what is likely to happen tomorrow? You come back and you say, I will have my coffee, and you look in the case, and that Boston green cream donut yesterday was talking to you, but today it is screaming at you. It's saying, here I am, eat me. And what do you do? Now, there are some of you that are very extremely disciplined in this, and you would say, no, that's it, that's all. But most people will say, well, you know, it's only one donut. And then when you come back the next day, it's been 2 days. When you come back the next day, the Boston cream donut doesn't have to say a word. It's not screaming, it's not talking, it's not saying anything. As a matter of fact, it never was. But you are developing a new habit. It's interesting with that. It takes a lot longer to develop a good habit. There was a recent study that said that a daily action like eating fruit at lunch or developing a good habit or running for 15 minutes takes an average of 66 days. Think about that. 66 days to become as much of a habit as it ever would. Now that is important not only for the natural, for if you're deciding that you're going to exercise or if you're deciding that you're going to eat healthy, it takes 66 days to develop that habit strongly within your life. The old thinking was that it took 21 days. Now they're saying 66 days of repeating that thing over and over again to ingrain it as a habit within your life. Now, I am here today to tell you that the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, what that means is that there is some profit in it. And so we should look after our bodies. We should try to eat healthy. We should try to exercise. We should try to do all of those things. But in our spiritual life, there are also habits or disciplines that we need to develop that only become habits over time. You see, if you are going to develop a discipline or a habit of prayer, it takes more than 2 days to develop that habit. It takes telling myself every day, this is what I'm going to be doing at this time. This is going to become my habit. And eventually, it becomes very ingrained as part of you. You know, that's one of the reasons why every time we don't have Sunday night because of an event, that people are saying, I didn't know what to do because Sunday night is my church night. It's a habit. It's been developed. It's part of who we are, and it becomes part of us. And take courage. If you miss a day here or there, it won't derail the project. You don't have to go back and start all over again. You just get back on track. But developing a habit. And here's another big thought that will be on the screen, is that discipline is choosing between what we want now and what we want most. Choosing between what I want right now and what I want most in my life. You know, I mentioned that we're all disciplined in some way. Pretty much every one of us are successful in some area within our lives. And if you look in that area, you will find a consistent discipline. You know, if you say, I've got a good marriage, I promise you there are some disciplines that you've developed in your life that contribute to making that relationship good. There are things, you know, you've disciplined yourself. You don't say the first thing that comes to your mind. Anybody ever notice that? When you're married, you do not, guys, do not say the first thing that comes to your mind. Because if you do, you will pay. You will. But we discipline ourselves. We develop habits. Sometimes we say, well, all habits are bad. No, not all habits are bad. Some are. But habits are things that we repeat over and over. And when they are good, they develop strength within our lives and within our relationships. If you make a habit of expressing appreciation for your spouse, and you begin to practice that. I know we talked about that when we were talking about words and back when we were talking about thoughts. If you make that a habit to express appreciation to your boss, I'm not talking about every 30 minutes, but you make that habit. I will look for the good. I will express appreciation. It becomes a habit. Conversely, if you always look for what is wrong in somebody's life, what is wrong with the situation, and you become a habitual criticizer, it becomes a bad habit. And you begin to damage because of the habit that you formed. So determining that I am going to choose what I want ultimately rather than what I want in the moment. You've got to determine that. You know, if you are successful financially, I can guarantee you're living on less than what you make. And you're generous, you're investing, but you are disciplining yourself. Financially successful people don't get there by accident usually. It comes because of disciplines. You know, that word budget, for some, it's like, that's my best friend. And for others here today, you shudder when you hear somebody say that word and you say, wow, no, that's horrible. Financially successful people have developed disciplines within their lives. And really, the opposite is also true. That any area that you are not succeeding in, you have some disciplines, but they're not the right disciplines. And we can be so inconsistent in the right disciplines. For example, now just look straight ahead, don't smile or anything. I'm going to start working out. So we determine I'm going to start getting up and I'm going to wake up early, I'm going to do it. And you go and you do it on Monday and you go it on Tuesday and on Wednesday you say, oh, you know, my shoulder. And so I'm going to take a rest day. And then on Thursday, well, you know, it's kind of cold outside, dark, maybe a little rainy. And so you take a rest day. And you started, but you ended up stopping. For instance, I'm going to be disciplined in my eating. And it starts the same way. You go to wherever you go to buy fruit and vegetables, and you buy all these fruits and vegetables, and you determine that I am going to eat fruits and vegetables, and you put everything else away in the back room. And then, you know you should eat an apple, but that bag of Doritos in the back room, it's yelling at you. And you walk right past that nice, big, juicy apple that you know you should eat. And then you get back on track, and then on Saturday, everything's going crazy, and you're driving here and there, and you're determined, I'm swearing off junk food, I'm not going to eat any of that stuff, and, you know, you're rushed, and you're starving, and you're driving by the Golden Arches, and the rest is history. You started strong, end up inconsistent. And I think in some ways we all can relate to that, and the Apostle Paul did. For you see, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. Now, Paul was one of the most effective Christian leaders of all time. And yet, he had an issue that I think we can identify with. He said, I don't really understand myself. And this is New Living. For I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. I know if I were to ask for a show of hands that everyone would be raising their hand right now, because there are times I know what I ought to do, and it may not even, I'm talking now about things that aren't even a matter of sin. I know what I ought to do, but I know what I really want to do. And I know I want to do the right thing. I want to eat healthy, and I'm using that just as an example. I want to eat healthy, but I also know, why do they make things that are bad for you taste so good? Did you ever notice that? You know, the things that taste really, 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 really good, they tell you, no, you can't have them, with good reason. And here's the issue with sin and temptation, is that sin would never be a temptation if it didn't appeal to something. It appeals to the natural part of us. And just like that food that you know I'm not supposed to have and it's not good for me, and the doctor said I shouldn't have it, the dietitian said I shouldn't have it, but it appeals to you. In the same way, sin, through temptation, appeals to a natural part of us. Otherwise, it wouldn't be temptation. You just walk away saying, I'm not tempted by that. And so it appeals to us. And Paul said, I don't really understand myself. And there are times that we look at ourselves and we wonder. And then in verse 20 of the same chapter, he said, but if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's sin living in me that does it. Now, he's not copping out and saying I don't have a choice, but he is talking about that natural nature that we have that sin appeals to. And he said there is a part of me, because by nature we are not self-disciplined in a good way. And by nature, our sin and our sinful nature tends to pull us away from God. And so he said, there is that within me that bends me towards doing what is wrong. And I want to do what is right on one level, but on the other hand, my sin nature, that old nature, lures me away from God and tempts me to do what is wrong. I'm going to bring up another scripture, verse 24, and see if you've ever felt like this. He said, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then he answers the question, and this is really important. Because we all face this question, how can I overcome temptation? Who can help me to overcome temptation? How can I possibly control this thing and have victory? Who can help me to be consistent? And then in verse 25, he says this, thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said the answer is not in simply a principle or some kind of practice. The answer is in a person. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And what he is saying is, with his help, I can be different. With his help, I can change. With his power, I can be transformed. You see, when you come to know Jesus, the Bible says that you are a new creature in Christ. That old things are passed away and all things become new. In other words, he sets us on a new path. But because of the way we have been and because of who we have been and the experiences that we have, there are things that we have learned that we need to unlearn. You know, there are some of you that the way you react when somebody crosses you is because that's the way you were taught to react in your family. That's the way your mom reacted or your dad reacted. That's the way that you saw it, and you replicate that. But when you become a follower of Jesus, he works within your life to break those old habits, to break those old ways of responding, and to develop new and godly patterns within your life that transform you to be like him. And so he works to change and to transform, because Jesus in me is stronger than the appetites, the wrong appetites in me. See, sometimes we struggle with self-discipline, and self-discipline is important, but really we need to become spirit-disciplined. Because the Spirit, Christ in me, is what empowers me to do what I'm not capable of doing myself. You say, well, I've tried to change, but have you brought God into the change? Well, I've made the decision and this is what I'm going to do, but have you brought God into the decision? Have you brought God into the change that you are wanting to see happen within your life? See, in order to do that, there are some habits that we need to develop. Let me talk about three very simple habits that can change your life. And if you're looking for something that's earth-shattering that you've never heard before, you're going to be disappointed. Number one, pray. Pray. Because we use the expression, prayer changes things. But really, there's a lot of truth in the expression that prayer changes me. The impact of prayer is not simply on the situations and people that are around me. The true impact of prayer is on me. Because, let's face it, folks, a lot of times the problem isn't on the outside. A lot of times, this is going to be uncomfortable. A lot of times the problem is inside. And when I pray, prayer changes me. And sometimes we get so busy saying, God, change everybody else, that we neglect to stop up and see, God, do you want to change me? Prayer. I want to challenge you today to develop a consistent habit of prayer. I'm not telling you to go and pray 60 minutes every day. That would be great. But I'm asking you to develop a habit of prayer. Take 10 minutes to start. If you don't have a habit of prayer, now if you already are praying 60 minutes, don't back up. But if you're not praying or you've struggled to get any kind of prayer life going, start with 10 minutes. Set the timer on your phone. I'm going to pray for 10 minutes. And when you have done that, then perhaps set another time. I may do it in the morning, I may do it at night, but I'm going to do 10 minutes morning and night. All of a sudden, that's 20 minutes. And when you have that habit ingrained consistently, then you can build up, well, okay, now I'm going to bump it up to 15 minutes. And so you learn to pray for 15 minutes. And maybe you're doing that twice a day. That's a half an hour. And then you get that habit developed, and you all of a sudden you discover that 15 minutes isn't long enough, so I'm going to bump it up to 20 minutes. You're developing a pattern of prayer. And, you know, if Jesus needed to pray, And the Bible says that Jesus was God in human form. Jesus prayed as an example to you and I. And if he felt it was so important to pray, how much more do you and I need to pray? So prayer. The second thing is, get in this book. You know, we have Bible reading charts available. If you say, well, I struggle to read and that's too tough, read a chapter. Get into one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or get into the book of Acts. Very easy to understand, very easy to read. You say, well, I picked up a King James and I struggled to read it. Then get another translation, a modern translation, and read it. Because the important thing is not whether you read it in the King James or the New Living. The important thing is that you read it. And the King James is beautiful. When I quote Scripture, I quote from the King James. That's what I grew up with. But I also know that there are a lot of these and thous in it. And that a modern language translation can be easier to understand to begin. And so, start reading the Bible. Don't say, I'm going to read one book of the Bible every day. Because, quite frankly, there are some books like Philemon that you could read in a few minutes, very few minutes, but there are other books that are going to take you a while. And so I'm going to read a chapter, start out, and then maybe I'm going to bump up to two chapters, and maybe I'm going to bump up to three chapters. But developing that habit, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So a very simple thing that I can do is to get the Word of God in my heart. And David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So there is something about the word that's unlike any other book, that when you get it in your heart, when you begin to think about it, it will change the way that you are. The third thing. Number three, if you're taking notes on this. Number one is prayer. Number two is getting into the Bible. Number three, a great habit, is church attendance. Church attendance. Say, why is that so important? You know, we probably have people watching us right now by live stream, and I appreciate the fact that we're able to do that. But live streaming, watching something on video, is not the same as being in church. Because when I come into a worship service, I'm coming in with other believers in community. We are together. We are brothers and sisters worshiping together. And there is a spiritual environment that happens when people begin to focus on Christ and worship together. There's something about the Word as it goes forth live. I know that a recording, you can get something from it, but there is something about being in a worship service. And the Apostle Paul wrote and he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. It needs to become, church attendance needs to become a habit within my life. That on Sunday morning at 10:30, this is where I'm going to be. And let me just encourage you, Sunday night at 6 o'clock. You know, if you're not in the habit of coming on Sunday nights, each service is geared a little bit differently, and Sunday night is geared differently from Sunday morning. It's more encouragement for believers, and it's a great time together. It's different. Bible study on Wednesday night. You know, in Bible study, we sing three courses, and after about 15 minutes, we're in the Word, and it's in the Word. And it's different than Sunday morning service or Sunday night service because it just gets in the Word. That's it. And we need each one of those constituent parts to make us whole. You see, you can't just eat one type of food. You have to have a balanced diet. And church attendance. Now, let me give you number four. I'll add one more to it, and then we're going to move on. Number four is simply this. Hang around with godly people. Hang around with people that love Jesus. Hang around with people that are going to push you to be better. That's part of what a community is. is people that will help you, people that will push you to be better. And with the power of Jesus Christ within, we choose to do what we want most over what we want right now. And so let me just, I'm going to share this with you. 1 Corinthians 9:24 was our text. Paul said, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but one person gets the prize? Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Paul was writing to people who were familiar with the games that were performed there where they were, the Isthmian Games. And for 10 months, the athletes that were a part of that would be in training. They would be subjected to extreme heat, to cold, to learn to perform in any condition. There was no junk food, no alcohol. They were fed only what would feed their body. They were disciplined their body to win. And when the time came for the race to take place, they actually would strip down and they would run so that they wouldn't be hindered. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, Paul said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Think about that. He said, I need to look at my life and see, are there things, they may not be sinful, but are there things that have become habits in my life, things that have become a part of my life that are slowing me down spiritually, that are hindering me spiritually, that are getting in the way of my spiritual life? And he didn't say, tell God to take them away. He said, you need to strip them away. To develop good habits, we have to turn away from the bad. But it's not enough simply to turn away from bad habits. They must be replaced with the good in our lives. You see, if you do not replace the bad with something, the bad will come back. It's replacing that bad habit with something that is good. He said that all these athletes are disciplined in their training. And they're doing it for a prize that will fade away. Notice verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 9. He said, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I'm not playing around. I'm not just fooling around. He said, I run with purpose in every step. Would you repeat that line with me? So I run with purpose in every step. Say it again. So I run with purpose in every step. Have you looked at your life and decided, what is my purpose? And am I just being swept along by the currents of life? Or am I living my life on purpose? You know, the greatest purpose you can have is to live to bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. But am I living my life on purpose? It doesn't matter what age you are. It doesn't matter what stage you're at in life. Are you living your life on purpose? Do you have an overriding purpose within your life? And he says, I'm not just shadow boxing. I'm serious about this. He said, there's a real enemy. It's not shadow boxing. And then he says, notice what he says I do in verse 27. I discipline my body. And when they would speak about the body, it would incorporate the physical body, but it also incorporated everything about life, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. He said, I'm training my body to do what it should. The Spirit of God helps me. When I begin to take control of my thoughts, and when I take control of my thoughts, I begin to take control of my words. When I take control of my thoughts and my words, I begin to develop habits, positive habits within my life. When I develop those positive habits, and you know what? Sometimes there's effort. You know, we have a stationary bike. And no, we don't use it to hang clothes on. We have a stationary bike. I try to do time on that thing every day. I'll be honest with you. I have a particular time I get on the stationary bike. And I will be honest with you that there are some times that I look at that thing and it feels like my enemy. You may have experience with that. You know what I'm talking about? It feels like it's my instrument of torture, my enemy. But I know that if I want to be in shape, if I want to be healthy, I need to exercise. And there are times that I have to tell myself, you are not going to be lazy today. You are going to get on that thing whether you like it or not. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You are getting on it today. And you are not going to tap out after 15 minutes. You are going to stay on it. It's amazing how you can have conversations like that. Why? Because the ultimate goal is worth what I have to do right now. And I challenge you today to develop habits of godliness within your life. I'm not asking anybody here this morning to come to the altar and commit yourself to go to some region of the world thousands of kilometers away and to spend your life telling everybody about Jesus. That's not what I'm asking for today. We look at that and we say, that's a really big ask and that's a big thing. What I'm asking you to do today is, if you're not praying, start. Develop that habit of prayer. If you're not reading your Bible, I want to challenge you today with God's help to start reading your Bible. If you struggle, really, really struggle to read, listen to it on an MP3. Put it in your headphones. You know, put it on your phone and listen to it. Get it in your heart. Make a decision. Maybe you found it easy to roll over on Sunday morning and go back to bed. Just roll over and go back to sleep because you're tired. But will you make it a habit or a discipline? It says, I'm going to do the right thing. And the right thing repeated over time becomes a discipline within my life. It may be that you're here today and you got to look at your choice of who you hang around with, because the people that you hang around with, it's like they just drain you spiritually. And you start out on Monday morning and you're just like, woo, God is good. God is blessing. Everything's great. But you got some people in your life, and I'm not talking about coworkers. There's not much you can do about coworkers. But you know, we were talking about this at Hyphenite. There are some situations you're part of the world. You live in the world. That's, you can't do anything about it. But there are other things you can. I'm challenging you today to start making that good decision that over time becomes a discipline. There are other ways that we develop discipline within our lives. But today, I'm asking you to think of one thing. One thing. As we stand together this morning, one thing that you could say, this is my one thing that God's speaking to me about today. This is my one thing. You know, you may be here today and you say, well, I read the Bible, I pray, I'm in church. Maybe your one thing is to discipline the words that you speak. Maybe it's in the way that you relate to people who trouble you. What is that one thing? And that's personal for everybody that's here today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, I thank you for each person that's here in this place today, and I thank you for what you are doing right now. Lord, that you are speaking and that you talk to us. Because, Lord, your Spirit is always at work within our lives to shape us and to mold us to be more like you. And Lord, I'm asking from the front to the back here today that one thing, Lord, that somebody here today would make a commitment to begin to pray habitually, to develop that habit of prayer. Lord, that somebody here today that hasn't really been in the Word at all, Lord, that today that challenge would be to get in the Word, just to start. Lord, I pray for somebody else that you're speaking to about getting out to church. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak today. Lord, that one thing. And Lord, I pray that you would cement that in our minds right now. Lord, that this time is different. This time is different, Lord. Lord, I ask you that you would speak into us right now. In Jesus' name, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. I'm going to invite you, if you come 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 invite you